to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday night. Well, of course it is if you're listening to me live on AM 1380 WLRM radio tonight. It's September 24th. Very nice night here in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, as we broadcast not only to our local flagship affiliate, but also to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News radio network across this great country of ours. We've covered a lot of ground so far during the show. Still much more ground to cover. And I'm very happy to share your company this evening. Going to take a quick call, and then we're going to get back down to brass tacks. Tim in Arkansas. Tim, you're on the line with the Political Cesspool.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, just hanging in there. I tell you, it's good to be home. How are you?
Well, I can't complain. I'm getting along pretty good. Listen, just a word. You guys are getting the word out there. You all are the ones who are moving the debate. Because I continually hear shows like Rush Limbaugh. You know, he used to say he was on the cutting edge of societal evolution. And I'm telling you, he's not anymore. It's you guys. You're moving the ball. You're the ones who everybody's reacting to now. And I'll give you an example. He's had a couple of guests on, and these are guest speakers. And they come on and play for him. And one of them has written a book about the demise of the economy and the dangers that are going to ensue as a consequence. And this book was basically and has been written by people like very similar books by people like Jared Taylor and Edgar Steele.
Right.
So the reality is that you guys are forcing them to talk about things they don't want to talk about, and it's getting out in the on the internet and on websites like Prison Planet and David Duke and the Political Cesspool and CFCC and European Americans United. You know, it's having an effect. I think there are more people aware that our government is out to get us, really out to get us, now than there ever has been before. I think people are more disillusioned. I think that the man behind the curtain is more revealed now than ever before. And the perfect example is Ron Paul.
Right.
He's really leading the pack. He's winning the debates. He's making, you know, extraordinarily good points, and they're, you know, Fox News is doing, and the other media as well, are doing everything they can. And they don't want to shut him up because they can't. They can only go so far in terms of censoring. And this nut that they have, this Rick Perry, I don't know what kind of megalomaniac he is. But, you know, he's dangerous. I mean, you know, he's really dangerous. If you're gonna vote for somebody, you know, if you're not gonna vote for Paul, I guess vote for Romney, and just suck it up and you know hope we don't get another Obama if he loses. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw a billboard the other day. I should have put this up on the website, I guess. Well, it wouldn't have been too long of an article. It's just a quote. It said, and I don't even know who the sponsoring organization. You know, I've been on the road quite a bit lately, and I didn't get a chance to catch who sponsored the billboard, but it said, it kind of backs up what you were saying a second ago, you know, anybody but Obama. It said, if you voted for Obama in 2008 to prove you're not a racist, please vote for someone else in 2012 to prove you're not an idiot. I thought that was pretty appropriate.
That's true. I mean, everything he's done is, you know, I mean, a couple of things we're going to have to do. We're going to have to repeal NAFTA. We're going to have to repeal CAFTA. And we're going to have to get rid of at least 25 or 30% of these illegals.
Yeah, and you know, it depends on what day of the week whether or not Ron Paul is with us on the immigration thing.
I think he's afraid because you know, I mean, they're already pouncing on him, and you know.
Yeah, afraid. Well, and I guess if you're in his position, you got to play the game to an extent. I know he's not with us on a lot of the racial issues, but he's certainly, you know, to get to NAFTA and CAFTA and GATT and all that. I mean, he's the only game in town. I mean, you're certainly not going to get that with With Rick Perry, it goes without saying. But you're not going to get it with Mitt Romney either. I mean, Ron Paul, out of all of the, and for lack of a better word, mainstream candidates that have announced, I mean, Ron Paul is the only guy that should be getting anyone's vote that's listening to this show tonight in the Republican primary. And that's, you know, with him not being 100%. But look, you know, that's one of the problems that our people have, Tim, is that they can't get behind a guy unless he agrees with them on 110% of the things. I mean, there'll be a guy out there that's been fighting on your behalf. And I'm not talking about you specifically, obviously, but this is the way far too many of our people work. You know, you go 5 years with this guy and he never lets you down once. Then you have a disagreement and then our people instantly cut ties and write him off. He's part of the other camp now. We've got to get past that. We've got to be bigger than that. And I know Ron Paul isn't everything we want him to be, but come on. And I'm not one of these, you know, vote for the lesser of two evil types. I've never subscribed to that. That's why I've never voted for anyone who's won. But Ron Paul is the only guy that should be getting our votes. And Tim, we're coming up on a commercial break, but I want to thank you for your call and for bringing to the program tonight some very good points and observations.
Well, just keep fighting, man.
Now, we will, my friend. And I tell you, it's people like you that give us the wind in our sails to do what we do. And this goes not only to Tim, but everybody out there. And thanks again, Tim, for the call. You know, we couldn't do it without y'all. That's not a joke. That's not just us trying to be disingenuously kind. People who know me, and I know I don't have the chance to email and speak privately and meet personally with everyone who listens to the show. It'd just be, you know, a physical impossibility. But the people who do know me know that I'm very sincere when I say that. I mean, we really are a team here. We do our part here on the radio show. You do your part in supporting us. We can't have one without the other. We can't be here without you. And, you know, if I do say so myself, without us, you wouldn't have a voice on the mainstream radio airways. It is a symbiotic relationship. And that being said, you know, keep in mind that, you know, it does take your support, moral and financial, to keep this show, to keep our work going. And we do have a third quarter promotional fundraising incentive going right now. It's running now through the end of this month, September 30th, which is less than a week away now. The bottom line is, folks, if you support this show, if you appreciate this show and what we're able to do, the headlines that we're able to make, you know, stand with us. Stand with us. We need you to make a contribution to the show tonight. You can do so at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Safely, discreetly, we have a state-of-the-art credit card processor. All your information's got to be kept private. We don't even keep it. But we need your support. It costs a lot of money to keep this show on the air. You know, we're out here fighting with the big boys. You mentioned Rush Limbaugh. We're out here fighting on the same turf. We're not an internet radio program, even though you can pick us up over the internet, and many of our listeners around the world do listen to us online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But the reason we're able to make so many headlines, the reason people react to us, the reason we get so much news is because we're the AM and FM radio airwaves across the country, not even in just one market, but in multiple markets. It takes a little plunder to run an empire, and we need your support. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. Contribute tonight. You'll feel good about yourself. You'll be glad that you did. We've got to take a break. More to come.
The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood,
baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. You know, I did want to elaborate just a little bit more on Tim's point when he called in just a moment ago. We've noticed this, too, in the local area. I mean, we are the guilty pleasure for so many people because, as I've said so often, most people in America, you know, I was comparing and contrasting the 2011 America from the 1950s America, and in some ways, obviously, we've fallen a long way. And in some ways, you know, there's still a lot of that culture alive in the shadows and underground. I don't think I'm being naive. I still think that most people, most red state, hardworking, middle class, God-fearing Americans still believe the way we think on these issues that, you know, this show is created to advance. I do. They're just not as active. And in fact, in addition to being silent, I mean, they will parrot the establishment line because they think that's the path of least resistance. And that's something we've got to do better on. But I have noticed, too, that the fact that this show has become very popular and it does have a cult-like following. Keith Alexander, as I said in the first hour, he's a masochist. He listens to other local programming here in Memphis. I don't listen to any show that comes out of Memphis. It's just not good quality programming. And it's not just because I don't agree with a lot of that which they say. It's because it's tacky. It's just low class, low budget stuff here. The local paper, the local radio shows besides ours, and of course we're the only show in Memphis that's based in Memphis that's actually nationally syndicated. But anyway, Keith routinely will call me up almost out of breath. Oh, James, you got to turn it on, AM such and such. And listen to this show because he's saying exactly what we said on the show. And I will every now and then I'll actually catch his call and I'll tune in. And no joke, ladies and gentlemen, they are absolutely hijacking word for word to such an extent that it can't just be okay. Yeah, they're actually saying something that sounds close to something that we would say. No, they're reading our script almost as if they took down what we say. And are reading it from a script. We do cause people to react. Every now and then I'll catch someone saying something that they pirated from us. And of course they don't attribute it to us because if they attribute it to James Edwards, then it must be evil. But if they say it themselves, I mean, it just makes so much sense. Well, yeah, of course. So, we get all of that. These are the results that we deliver in return for your gracious support. We think that these results are readily apparent. You consider that, this is the show here, very large audience across the country and around the world, but that doesn't count the number of people who hear our message through other venues that we don't get credit for, or when CNN or any of the other newspapers or magazines that routinely cover our work plug us. All this that we do, though, the headlines that we make, all the good that we accomplish on behalf of our people is a direct result of your loyalty, as I mentioned in the last segment. I hope that you'll make a donation to the show tonight. You've made our work successful. It's for you that we fight. We don't take your financial support for granted. It's always appreciated. It's never expected. And ladies and gentlemen, from the bottom of my heart, we do love and respect you, our listening audience, more than you'll ever know. I've said it before, but I can never say it enough. I'm very much looking forward to what the future holds for us on this show with you by our side. But folks, we do need your support. And again, I hope that you'll give it to us as we wrap up our fall fundraising incentive here this September. Make a donation at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, I got a great... I said it's a disturbing story, as they all are on this show, but there's something behind the scenes here that I think may give you a little bit of hope. Let's just say that. Bass Pro Shops. Anybody listening to this show has to be a fan of Bass Pro Shops. I mean, how couldn't you? How couldn't you be a fan of Bass Pro Shops? It's outdoorsy. It's manly. Distinctly white. Distinctly Southern. Although, there are a lot of great outdoorsmen in the Northwest and in the Midwest and, the mountain areas. I like Bass Pro Shop, okay? I like them even more after I read this story. They're being sued for racial discrimination. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't like them because they are alleged to have racially discriminated against anyone. I don't think that's what they did. I don't know for sure, but I don't think that's what they did. I'll tell you why I like them in a minute. But let me read the story first. I guess the moral of the story is that you will bow before the false gods of cultural Marxism or else. The federal government has sued national outdoor retail chain Bass Pro Outdoor World, alleging racial discrimination in its hiring practices dating back to 2005. The Equal Opportunity Commission, a federal agency charged with enforcing anti-discrimination laws in employment, filed a lawsuit in U.S. District Court in Houston on Wednesday. The lawsuit alleges that qualified African Americans and Hispanics were routinely denied positions at Bass Pro Stores and managers of stores in Houston, Louisiana, and other locations. The commission also alleges that Bass Pro destroyed documents related to applications and internal discrimination complaints and retaliated against those who spoke up. A spokesman for the Springfield, Missouri-based Bass Pro Shop said the company has not yet reviewed the lawsuit. Well, the Council of Conservative Citizens, before I offer my two cents on this story, the Council of Conservative Citizens, a great organization with which we partner, has added some excellent commentary on this matter, and they really say it all that I could possibly say very succinctly, very appropriately. They write this in response to the Equal Opportunity Commission's lawsuit against Bass Pro Shop, allegedly for racial discrimination. This is what the CFCC writes. The Equal Opportunity Commission is another Orwellian police state arm of the federal government. The EOC are unelected bureaucrats hired by the executive branch of the government. They enforce draconian diversity measures, quote unquote, on companies through crippling lawsuits which violate the nation's First Amendment rights. The Equal Opportunity Commission sued Polo Ralph Lauren for millions for not using minorities enough in their advertisements. Then they sued Abercrombie and Fitch for having too few minorities in ads. Today, every clothing company with a mostly white clientele uses a disproportionately large number of minorities in ads. This is out of fear of being sued. Many, like Sears and so many others that we know, place interracial couples in ads specifically out of fear of being sued, not necessarily because they endorse or embrace the practice. Clothing companies with a mostly black clientele, though, still use mostly or all black models with impunity. This is the double standard that we fight against. We fight against race hypocrisy in 21st century America. The constant financial shakedown and harassment of businesses is solely aimed at white people. In federal agencies, for instance, affirmative action hiring practices have given blacks double and triple their representation. Obama's White House waitstaff is reportedly 100% black. But there you have it, folks. It's not about equal opportunity for all. That's what we stand for. It's about special privileges for minorities. It doesn't matter if white job applicants are better suited and more qualified for the position, as I'm sure was the case in many of these Bass Pro Shops complaints. Yeah, they hired more white people because they were better suited for the job. But this is what the government says. You had better hire your government-mandated quota of non-whites or you will pay a price. Bass Pro is being made an example. Like I say, equal opportunity for all, special privileges for none. If a black applicant comes in and a white applicant comes in and the black applicant is far superior for the job, then hire him by all means. But don't hire him just because he's black. That is racist, if anything is. We're taking a break.
We've been working hard, babe. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of this place.
If it's the last thing we ever do. All right, welcome back to the show. Keith Alexander mentioned something during the very first hour. It was just a quick couple of words. If you weren't paying attention, you would have missed it because it wasn't his main point. He was using it to illustrate a bigger point. But he said, if you want to keep your money safe, the old saying goes, hide it in a book. Most people don't read, and there are some people that dislike reading more than others. Richard Spencer at AlternativeRight.com has an excellent article up. It's almost comical. But the bookshops shall be spared. He writes this, and then I'll get to the story. The destruction of books, whether as acts of political censorship, rage, or symbolism, has been a recurring component of social movement in the West for centuries. From the early Christians to the Catholic counter-reformers to even the Nazis, one could say that book burning has been the Western equivalent of the voodoo doll, a way to annihilate one's enemy, or rather his ideas, if only vicariously. Interestingly, during this summer's rioting, looting, and burning across London and its outskirts, an episode that bore all of the hallmarks of a massed uprising against the man, the urban youths, quote-unquote, involved, avoided bookstores as if they were infested with the plague. Let's allow a little sunshine to enter into the world in which we live. Our cities may burn, but Western high culture shall not be harmed. Basically, what Richard's saying here is that a big story came out in London talking about the riots, and we all know about the riots. London experienced the joys of diversity and multiculturalism by having half of its city burned down earlier this summer by the usual suspects. There was one store in a charbroiled neighborhood, a neighborhood that just got razed to the ground. One store was completely unscathed by the black ne'er-do-wells. It was, of course, the neighborhood bookstore. And this is what the story reads. It comes from a newspaper over there in the UK. It says this, on the worst night of London rioting, almost every shop in Clapham Junction was ransacked, except for one, the bookstore. And one of the most telling images of the summer, looters stole TVs, hair products, and iPods, but the Waterstone bookstore was left untouched. The joke the next day, and I don't know how much of a joke it was that the rioters did not know how to read. Simon, the manager of Camping Shop Blacks, watched it all. The manager of the store watched it all from the upstairs window, hiding in terror as hundreds of looters plundered stores across the streets. One of the stores, its manager says, they smashed our window, ripped the plasma TVs off of our walls, took all of our jackets and rucksacks. He said that he saw them go into Claire's accessories, break into some of the other stores, liberate them of all of their products, carry off clothes, mobile phones, everything. But the bookstore was left absolutely untouched. For the looters, this person testifies, it was if it did not exist. Okay. So, how do you think that the establishment media responded to this story? They couldn't avoid it because it was out there. A story about how all of the black rioters, they burned down and looted and robbed all of these other stores, but they left the bookstore untouched. How do you think that the liberal media, the establishment media, responded to this story? What do you think they said? You're not going to believe me. I am not making this up. Truth is stranger than fiction. This is how the establishment press in London responded to the story of the black rioters tearing everything up except the bookstore. They said, something must be done to address illiteracy in London. And the Evening Standard newspaper is trying to play a role in the solution. They think the violent black youths spared a bookstore out of illiteracy or anti-literacy, and the white liberal columnist's solution is to teach them how to read. Folks, this is how far gone some people are. This is how, when taken to its fullest extent, this is how diseased political correctness can, and this is how much it can rot the mind. You know, instead of condemning the rioters and saying, well, thank God they left the bookstore, the solution was, well, we should have taught them how to read, so then maybe they would have wanted to burn the bookstore too. This is their reaction. Folks, that's sick. That's sick, and it's almost laughable if it weren't for the fact that these are, you know, literally well-educated people being reduced to just a quibbling mass of goo, just parroting whatever they think will be the least offensive thing to say about you know, these black rioters. Got a call from Florida, Lydia in Florida. Lydia, you're on the line. Thanks for calling in. Are you still with me, Lydia?
Yes. Did you cover the Florida straw poll yet?
In fact, I just saw word of this while the show was in motion. I actually just it popped up in an email while the show was ongoing. Tell people what happened there.
Well, you know, I wasn't there. I live in Florida, and I'm, you know, I'm really not surprised because I was a part of the local Tea Party here where I am, and whenever I tried to address that this is actually, we're dealing with a racial issue because the Tea Party is for the most part white, although they're terrified of owning up to that.
Yeah, they're terrified of their own identity, sure.
They're token black speakers everywhere, and Lloyd Marcus, by the way, I know him. He's a complete shill for, you know, the elitist pig because he will not back any patriotic anti-Federal Reserve candidate. He only goes with the government-endorsed rhino. But
right.
The Tea Party in Florida, obviously, they don't want to be racist. Same, so they got to support Herman Cain, even though he was the chairman of the Federal Reserve. This is how brain dead our people are. They're just, oh, Alan West, Alan Keyes, Herman Cain. See, we're not racist. See, you know.
Yeah, and they're going to get the same old product. They're going to get Obama light. If people don't know, and Lydia obviously has alluded to it well enough to where you've probably figured out what happened. Today, the Florida straw poll was held, statewide straw poll. All of the Republican candidates were there to be, you know, chosen from, and Florida selected Herman Cain, the Godfather's Pizza. You know, never held an elected office, never been involved with politics other than, as Lydia mentioned, his role with you know, the feds there. And so
right.
He is the guy. He is the guy. And you know what? What does it get him, Lydia? This couldn't have happened at a more perfect time to prove my point and yours. The Tea
right.
Party people, who I'm, again, maybe a little naive, but I don't think I'm too far off. I think a lot of them in their heart of hearts, they're just middle class, hardworking, tax paying rubes like me. And I think fundamentally, in the privacy of their own home, they'd be a little more honest about their feelings. They'd say, listen, you know, I don't like this affirmative action stuff. I don't like a lot of this stuff. You're right about this. But what do? They're so afraid of being terrified of being called a racist. They go and they pick this watered-down buffoon, Herman Cain. They say, look, we're not racist.
Right.
We just voted for Herman Cain to win the straw poll. And what else happened this weekend? I mean, it couldn't have been timed any better. Morgan Freeman, or God, if you will. Morgan Freeman is out. He's out on all the talk shows. I saw it on E! News, you know, entertainment television. Morgan Freeman has just denounced the entire Tea Party as what? You guessed it.
Racist.
They're racist. So, you know, do you think it's going to make a difference to Morgan Freeman that these, you know, little scared kiddies in Florida just voted for Herman Cain to win their straw poll? No, they're always going to be racist because they're white. And this didn't absolve them of that in any way, shape, or form. But the timing couldn't have been better. Florida votes Herman Cain to win the straw poll. A bunch of white conservatives in Florida vote Herman Cain. And the same weekend, Morgan Freeman says everybody in the Tea Party, including the people who voted for Herman Cain, are racist. I mean, that is the story.
Oh, no, James, they're not just racist. They're racist Nazis who want to kill 6 million Jews.
Right,
okay?
Sure they are.
Everybody's a Nazi. And Ron Paul came second to last. Are these people brain dead or what? And here's the thing. In Central Florida, they have a show, the Neil Bort Show. He's on AM radio. He's a Jewish guy.
Hey, Lydia, hold on. We got to take a commercial break. I hear my music in my headset. Sit tight. We'll get back to you right after this this word from our sponsor. Stay.
If it's the last thing we ever do.
place. Girl, there's a better life.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. I was just looking at the program clock during that last commercial break, and it actually snuck up on me. Time flies when you're having fun. This is the last segment of the show. I figured we at least had another two or three left, but no, we're here. The end is near, at least for tonight. Of course, we'll be back with you next Saturday night, as we always are, with another live installment of the Political Cesspool Radio program. And as I said earlier tonight, we have got a lot of very good shows and incredible household name guests forthcoming as this year continues and concludes. We're heading into the fall. Christmas, not too far off. And then, of course, we'll do it all over again next year. But anyway, stay tuned each and every Saturday night to the Political Cesspool Radio program. You're not going to want to miss a single installment. Now, during that last break, and Lydia is still on the line with us, impeccable timing by Lydia. I was just wrapping up a story, and I was about to go through my notes here on my desk to see what I wanted to talk about next. And she called in with just a real bell ringer, talking about how all of the white conservatives in Florida, in an attempt to prove how they're not a racist, just voted for literally the worst candidate in the Republican straw poll as the winner, Herman Cain. And this happens, a day after Morgan Freeman says everybody in the Tea Party, including the fools who vote for blacks to prove that they're not racist, are in fact still racist. So, Lydia, you take it from there.
Right. Well, you just can't win. But the thing is, the people are so propagandized because, like I said, there's a radio show. It's the Neil Bortz radio show. It's on AM radio. It's a flagship station, I believe, is probably Atlanta. And, well, he has a station here in Central Florida. And he always has a fill-in. And the fill-in is Herman Cain. Well,
really?
Neil Bortz. Oh, yes. Neil Bortz is a Jewish guy who, really has the whole right-wing talking points down to a T, and he's a real big supporter of the fair tax, and everybody loves him. The Tea Party loves Neil Bortz, and, of course, naturally, they're going to love Herman Cain because, you know, they're professional actors. They have everything. I think it's funny how 2% of the population, we always need to hear their opinion on things, and we're told how we should think. Because the right wing, even though the Republican Party thinks that we have a fair and balanced media, the right wing is completely Jewish dominated. I mean, we have Mark Levin. He's also one of these AM radio hosts. We have Michael Savage. And I think it's, pretty coincidental that they have the whole Tea Party sold on whoever they get behind. So if they get behind Herman Cain, well, that's who they're going to get behind, because obviously they're not going to talk about the black flash mob. They're not going to talk about the fact that white people are the only race that are not protected under hate crime legislation, and that the last hate crime that was charged against a black was back in 1987. But are you trying to say that, we don't have any black on white crime since 1987 that were racially motivated by their hatred for whites? Well, no, you can't reason with these people. If you talk to them, the Tea Party will say, "Oh, you're racist." We have to look at the content of their character. They're quoting Martin Luther King Jr., who isn't even a reverend, that's not his real name. It was Michael King. He was a communist. These people are so propagandized, you can't even talk to them, because they just run in their corner and suck their thumb in the fetal position because they're so terrified of being called racist.
Yeah,
that's
more
important to them.
No, it is. It is. And they're not getting anything. They're certainly not protecting themselves from the false accusations of racism that comes with anyone like us who speaks out. But not only us, even these poor pathetic souls who are doing everything they can to grovel at the master's boot heel so he won't call them a dirty name. But I'm really glad you actually called in so we could discuss this tonight, because I saw that and I didn't even read the whole article. I saw it and I just scoffed and shook my head and then went on. I really didn't have time to digest it because, as I said, I was actually on the air talking when I saw the headline. But I was thinking during a commercial break before you called, you know, should I put this up on the website, and should we talk about it? And I decided I wasn't going to put it up on the website this week, but I am glad that we were able to talk about it now. And the reason I'm not going to put it up on the website is that, first of all, I wrote a really good article that really nailed the Tea Parties last year. It was called Glenn Beck and the Death Rattle of Mainstream Conservatism. And if you haven't read that article, anyone out there listening tonight, Google it. Of course, that was several months ago. It's still on the Political Cesspool site, but you have to go way back in the archives. But just Google James Edwards or Political Cesspool and Glenn Beck, the Death Rattle of Mainstream Conservatism. It actually got picked up by a lot of websites, and it was widely spread, and it really nails down this phenomenon of what you're talking about, Lydia, with what they're doing. And another reason, since I already covered it in such detail there, what's going on, the inner workings of the Tea Party and their psychosis, another reason I didn't want to post it is because, let's face it, when push comes to shove, the establishment themselves, the anti-white hating, you know, Zionist overlords, they're not going to allow Herman Cain to win the Republican nomination. I mean, you know, they're not even going to go that far. I mean, they're going to need a guy in there like Rick Perry, who at least can, you know, can sell the people that at least doesn't look like a total fraud and a total shill. Even though he still has that kind of look that they need in there out of their Manchurian candidate. So I think Herman Cain, you know, he's not going anywhere. They wouldn't let him go anywhere. He doesn't even have the intellectual prowess to be handled by his puppet masters, you know. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I saw that with Florida. I thought, oh, my God, you know, not again. But I'm glad we talked about it tonight. I'm glad you brought it to the audience's attention, because, I mean, it is a cesspool-worthy story if I hadn't have already covered the Tea Party in such great detail. But now we're starting to run out of time. But thanks again, Lydia. It's always good when you call in. You always make great points, and hope to hear from you again soon.
Oh, thank you, James. Take care.
You too. Lydia from Florida. My home away from home. I can't say it's my favorite state. It's my favorite state to travel to. I spend a lot of time vacationing down there, probably too much time at Epcot there in Orlando. I had to pick, you know, I love Mississippi. My grandparents are from Mississippi. Both sides of my grandparents are from Mississippi and from little towns in Mississippi you've probably never heard of. My mom's side of the family is from Pontotoc, Mississippi. And my maternal grandmother and grandfather moved up to Memphis and had my mother. He was born here. My paternal grandparents are from Corinth, Mississippi. And some of you may know Corinth because there was a great Civil War battle fought there. We lost. And my paternal grandparents are from Corinth, and they both moved up to Memphis, and my father was born here, and my father and mother met, and then comes little James, and so on and so forth. The rest is history. But for that very reason, because the roots of my grandparents were in Mississippi, I would have to say a great deal of my heart belongs to the state of Mississippi. It's so close here to Memphis anyway. Tennessee and Mississippi, I was born here. My grandparents all died here, so I guess that's, you know, they're laid to rest here. Their final resting place here is Tennessee. But Tennessee, obviously, a great southern state, too. Nathan Bedford Forrest, Davy Crockett, Andrew Jackson, Jack Daniels, you know, all great Tennesseans. And so I guess Tennessee and Mississippi tied for first in my all-time favorite places. But a not-too-distant second is Florida, for a couple of reasons. Great vacationing places, Key West, the beaches, Orlando, a lot of good time with brothers and cousins and friends down there growing up. And believe it or not, and I've said this before, we were talking earlier about fundraising and how this show needs to be supported, and we hope that you'll make a contribution tonight and participate in our fall fundraising drive. We need your help, folks. Come on. But we get more support out of Florida than any other state. There are more individual donors to the Political Cesspool Radio program, more contributors in Florida than any other state, including Tennessee, where we're based. Now, that's no rhyme or reason for it. And we have a lot of support here in Tennessee, but we've got more support, at least financially, in Florida than any other state. So I love Florida. That was a long, roundabout, long-winded way of thanking Lydia for calling in. Way to go, Florida. Anyway, folks, we're running out of time tonight. There are still, we covered a lot of news. I'm pretty satisfied with what we were able to do tonight. We got a lot of the news. We had a big log jam. We were able to work through quite a bit of it tonight over the course of 3 hours. Of course, we didn't have a guest. And for the last 2 hours, I've been holding court with you by myself, not even having the time to bring on a co-host because we had so much stuff we had to talk about. Got through a lot of it, not all. If you want to read the rest of the news that we're reporting on this week at our website, I encourage you to do so in your own time, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And while you're there, make a donation, why don't you? It'll make you feel good, and you'll be doing something that contributes to the defense of our people and our cultural heritage. We would love to have your support. What else? Oh, yeah, Broadcast Archives, another reminder. Folks, they're still there a couple of hours after this show goes off the air tonight. It'll be updated. Check it out. Listen to it again. Or enjoy it for the first time if you didn't catch us live. We love you, folks. God bless you. Remember to live life the way we do. With that, retreat, surrender, or apology. Until next week, on behalf of my crew here in Memphis and in Utah at the Liberty News Radio Network, I'm your host, James Edwards, and I'll see you next Saturday. We love you, folks. Good night.